This morning we're starting a new series called Risen, and it's a series that is pulled from the movie that just hit the theaters this weekend called Risen. This movie looks at some of the events that took place after the crucifixion of Jesus from the perspective of a Roman tribune who was not a believer in Jesus. In fact, he had no idea who Jesus was until, well, I'll tell you more in a moment. But if you do have time, I would recommend that you do go see the movie in theaters. Now listen to the story of Scott and Leslie. It was a young couple. They got married, and the night of their wedding, they left to go on their honeymoon. And they drove through the night, and in the wee hours of the morning, they got to their fancy motel, and they were excited and looking forward to spending their first night together in a hotel's bridal suite on a king-size bed. When they got to the room, they found a sofa, a chair, and a table. A sofa, a chair, and a table, but no bed. And after several minutes, they discovered the sofa was indeed a fold-out bed. But that night, they spent a fitful time tossing and turning on this lumpy mattress with sagging springs. With their honeymoon night ruined, Scott stormed down to the front desk the next morning and gave the clerk a tongue lashing. "There must be some mistake," the clerk said after checking the reservation. "Did you open the door to the bedroom?" Scott went back up to the room, opened the door that he thought led to a closet, and discovered the bedroom to the bridal suite. Inside was a king-size bed with a big fruit basket and a box of chocolates and a dozen roses. It was all completely available, yet totally unused. This series is an invitation to open the door to the implications of what the resurrection and its power, the resurrection and its power in your life, to understand not only what happened 2,000 years ago, but why it happened and its effect on those people who lived through those events and for us today. I want us to take a look at the cross today. Max Lucado, an author and preacher, wrote about the cross in his book, No Wonder They Called Him Savior. Listen to this. The cross, it rests on the timeline of history like a compelling diamond. Its tragedy summons all sufferers. Its absurdity attracts all cynics. Its hope lures all searchers. History has idolized it and despised it, gold-plated it and burned it, worn and trashed it. History has done everything to it but ignore it. That's the one option that the cross does not offer. No one can ignore it. You can't ignore a piece of lumber that suspends the greatest claim in history. Its bottom line is sobering. If the account is true, it is history's hinge, period. If not, it's history's hoax. That's why the cross matters. Now, we can look at it, history, and we can see that it was split by what happened on the cross. People still talk about it. Movies are still made about it. Initially, Jesus' friends were confused by it and heartbroken over it. And after it, they went into hiding. The Romans thought by crucifying this man, they would keep a riot from breaking out, thereby keeping the peace. The Jewish leaders thought they were getting rid of a thorn in their side. This rabbi who was powerful in his teaching, his teaching was undermining their authority and power. This movie called Risen is allowing millions of people to see the gospel. It depicts the life of a Roman tribune named Clavius. Now, Clavius is the top Roman soldier in Jerusalem who was charged by Pilate to ensure that Jesus was dead, was buried, and would stay buried past 3 days. Of course, we know historically on the third day, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was found empty. However, Pilate and the Jewish leaders still needed a dead body to prove to all others that Jesus had not risen from the dead, that he wasn't more than just another man. So the tribune Clavius was tasked to find the body of Christ. Risen is about Clavius' search for the body of Jesus and what he encountered as he interviewed people who might know where the body lay. He searches for the truth of what happened and who this Jesus really is. In the beginning of the movie, Clavius is sent to Golgotha, the place where Jesus and two criminals are being crucified. And when he gets there, Jesus is already dead. Clavius simply sees that Jesus has died. He wasn't involved or had any knowledge of Jesus prior to this moment in his life, until he was tasked with making sure this man was dead and buried. He wasn't aware of the problems Jesus caused with the Jewish religious leaders. He had only just been told of Pilate's role in the sentencing of this young rabbi. And so that is what he does. After seeing that Jesus was dead, Joseph of Arimathea, a priest, a Pharisee who had asked Pilate for Jesus' body, then takes Jesus down and buries him. Clavius then ensures that this Jesus is buried or entombed with an extremely heavy stone that takes 7 men to move, to put it in place over the tomb's entry. He also seals the tomb with rope and a Roman seal and leaves guards to guard the tomb. Of course, you and I know what happens. And that is what makes this movie so interesting to me. Clavius has no idea what happened. In fact, we are reminded that the disciples were also a bit clueless at first at the disappearance of Jesus' body. You see, I believe many people are like Scott and Linda, who enter the first room but do not open the second door. We know that there's more to what happened with Jesus than what we first realize, hanging on a cross and dying for our sin. We fail to really investigate the next door, though, that needs to be open, which will truly allow us to experience the fullness of God, to really know the Jesus that we really never knew. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. It's in your Bible and on a sign at almost every NFL game. Here's the verse on the screen. Read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, that first door is that God sent Jesus out of love to show us the love of God. And many people will still say today that God is love and that we need to love each other as God loved us. But we fail to open the second door, the door which causes us to really look beyond Jesus' life and more at what his death has done for us. In the movie, it was a door that Mary Magdalene opened and understood. Remember Mary Magdalene? She was a woman who had lived at the fringe of society, a prostitute who had had 7 demons in her. And then she met Jesus. Jesus who saw past the outer layers of what or who she looked like. Who saw in her a child of God's own creating. He has mercy on her and casts the demons out of her. He frees her from the torment she'd experienced for a long time. And for the first time in her life, she begins to know true peace and true love. You see, she understood what Jesus had done, and maybe she gives us a glimpse of not only what Jesus did in her life, but what Jesus did, the power of the cross. Here in this video clip, she's being interviewed by Clavius as he is looking for the body of Jesus Christ. Watch it with me.
Why did you run from us?
Instinct.
I've seen you before.
My other life.
Yes, she was Death. You were there beside his mother. Was she also the woman with you at his tomb?
If you knew what happened there, who cares what sees?
Enlighten me, then.
It's beyond us.
Spare me the riddles and zealot babble. Where did you take Yeshua?
He's right here.
Is he a goblin? A sprite? Alive again somehow?
Open your heart and see.
I see delusion. To keep a crusade alive, I could have what I want pulled from you, put you to death like that.
It doesn't matter.
I matter.
No.
Then give me the others and I'll grant you freedom.
I'm already free.
Show me the Messiah. Alive or dead. And show me those who follow him.
You look for something you'll never find, Tribune. You look for the wrong thing.
Mary had been in bondage, remember, for a long time. Satan was at work in her life to destroy her emotionally and spiritually. She was a woman from the streets. In short, Mary was in a hopeless and helpless situation, but Jesus delivered her and set her free. Think of how the Apostle Paul described the work of Christ as he writes, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me or in Christ. You see, the cross is a place of exchange. Unfathomable exchanges take place when you go to the cross. When you open that door, when you begin to understand it at a deeper level, the depth of God's love in forgiving you of all your sin. You go from darkness to light. You discover the power of God as he begins to take control. So you move from weakness to power. You move from guilt to grace. You exchange past failures for a future hope. This is what Jesus did for Mary Magdalene. This is what she talks about being set free. But friends, redemption is costly. For me to receive forgiveness, Jesus had to be made sin for me and die in my place. Can you imagine Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying for you? I imagine him saying, God, is there any other way this person could get into heaven except I go and die on the cross for all of their sins and pay for them? And God responds, Son, you know there's no other way. You know that no sin can enter into heaven. Somebody has to pay for their sin. Jesus went through a trial and all the suffering and all the scourging, and then they nailed him to a cross. And by going to the cross, Jesus was saying, okay, Father, you said if I took all the judgment for this person's sin, that they could go to heaven. So, all right. Father, let the judgment fall. And in that moment of agony, Jesus from the cross cries out to God. Then the skies turned dark, and for 3.5 hours, there was silence in heaven. At that time, Jesus was taking on the sin of the world. And then he cries out, it is finished. And he breathes his last breath for you and for me. Now that is love. And that is love in the first degree. When they drove those nails through his hands of Jesus, they went straight into the heart of God. So friends, above all other things, the cross is about redemption. His life for ours. And so because our sins are cleansed, we are put into a right relationship with God. God could never allow us to come directly to him because we are sinful, we are disobedient. It was done through a priest. You could come to God through a priest, and you had to bring an animal sacrifice. But the cross was the final place of sacrificial offering, and Jesus was the final offering, shedding his blood, offering his body, broken and dead, so that you and I could be put into a right relationship with God the Father. There was no other way. Jesus took the only way for you and for me. So now, like Mary, how should we respond to God's love, God's passion for us? What happens when we open that second door and we really get the message of the cross? When we really get the message of the cross, we become confident in God. We become confident in God's love, in his grace, and in his power. Watch this video clip as Clavius comes and finds one of the disciples, Bartholomew, and begins to interview him. Watch it with me.
Who's Bartholomew?
I am he.
Bring him. What do you hope to win by spreading fantasy?
By mine own eyes, Tribune. I walked with him. He spoke to me. It's unbelievable, but it is so.
Then conjure him up. Right now. Or show me the body he must have shed like a snakeskin.
God is not at my beck and call.
God? Yahweh manifests himself through a crazy, poor, dead Jew.
Well, so it appears.
And what does this rebirth mean?
What? Eternal life. For everyone. Everyone who believes.
Marvelous recruiting tool. Much better than salt. How many are you?
Well, we are few for now, and our only weapon is love.
Like this disciple, Bartholomew, as he's being interviewed by Clavius, Clavius again wants to know what you have done with this Jesus. And like the disciple here, we discover our value at the cross. When we really get the message of the cross, we become confident in God's love. In 1 John, he writes, "We love because he first loved us." Peter says it this way, "We are now members of God's own family, and God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you. And God, in his mighty power, will make sure that you get there safely to receive it because you are trusting him." You see, when we open that second door, when we get the message of the cross, we gain a new compassion for people. We are to love Christ and hate sin. We are to love others enough to tell them about him. The Apostle Paul wrote, "God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation." If someone died for you, wouldn't you want to know about it? If someone died for your next door neighbor, your mom, your dad, your best friends, the people you work with or go to school with, don't you think they deserve to know about it? This is why we do what we do in Christian ministry. This is why we have churches and why we educate children and why we minister to the community. It's so that we can reach one more person for Jesus, for God. The average person living in this area is probably sitting at home right now, Perhaps they're reading a newspaper or reading the news online or watching the news or watching television. And they're totally oblivious to what Jesus Christ has done and how much God truly loves them. If your friend lives his or her entire life without knowing Jesus Christ and dies without Jesus, then for that person, the death of Jesus Christ was wasted. Wasted. Worthless. Let us pray. God, we're grateful for your love and grace that allows us to live in this life and to experience the great love of Christ. And yet, Lord, there are so many in our lives who may not know you, who may not truly understand who you are, or maybe they've never opened that second door and really understood the deep love of Christ that forgives through a death on a cross. God, give us wisdom as we approach our friends. Give us a heart, Lord, for you, a passion that pushes us, that prods us, that calls us to go tell all we know about your great love. And Lord, we ask in this moment that you would take our lives and make them yours. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.